So you see, prayer is how we wage spiritual warfare against the powers and principalities that seek to prevent God's message from getting through to those who need it. And these could be our loved ones, they could be somebody we meet on the street. We need to pray for them. Well, good morning. We are the prayer warriors for today, okay? So the rest of the church, obviously you know, is down at the marathon, and we're here today. We're going to be doing a little bit of recap on the prayer messages that we've had in the past, but also talking a little bit about intercessory prayer and spiritual warfare. And then we're going to have a time where we're going to be issued a name of someone, either a runner or one of the organisers, but they're people who are associated with the church. And I'm going to actually ask you, we're going to have some time where you can take a name and you can pray for them. And we'll talk a little bit about what we're going to be praying for them. But also, you'll see that there's a microphone out the front. So what I would like you to do is to listen to God, and if there's something that he places on your heart that you would like to pray out loud, then you can make your way up to the microphone, and then we can all join with you in that prayer. Okay? So we began this year with a four-week sermon on prayer, and we did that for a reason. We did it because we wanted to lay a foundation as people of God and as this church before we entered into the year as being people who were praying, people who were making prayer our foundation. Before we even presented the vision for the year, which was done in February, we wanted to make sure that people were aware that we wanted to base everything that we do in prayer. There's a saying that goes, a song can change a moment, one idea can change a world, one step can start a journey, but prayer can change the impossible. So this morning, I want to remind us of what was presented in January for a start, and then we'll talk a little bit more about intercessory prayer as we commit to pray today for the runners in the Ballarat Marathon. Let's pray. Father, we just bring this time to you. Father, I pray that you will open our hearts and our minds. Father, help us to be inspired by your word. Father, help us to be inspired by the example that we've just heard about and the examples that we will hear about this morning. Father, I pray that you'll be with those who are down the street at the marathon. I pray that you'll continue to bless them, continue to work through them, and we lift them up before you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so in January, we began with a message introduced by Liam. We began with the message introduced by Jess Stewart. Jess showed us how our prayer life should form a relational dialogue with our Heavenly Father. Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer, and he taught us to pray for God's will to be done on earth, and Jess went into all of that. The following week, Liam challenged us to bring our requests to God, trusting in him as our loving Father, with the confidence of being his children, that we should pray boldly and that we should be persistent in our prayer. In the third week, Meg and Hannah encouraged us to pray constantly, in every season and for every reason, to bring every request to God, to be bold, but also to be prepared to wait on the Lord. We heard of the healing and the spiritual breakthroughs and how communion with God builds our faith and enriches our lives. In the final week in January, we had Greg and Jenny Ellingworth, who touched on prayer as ministry to others and spiritual warfare. And we've just heard an excellent example then about spiritual warfare. They talked about being disciplined in our prayer life to ensure that we developed not just a prayer when we needed something done, but a habit of prayer, a habit of communion with God, focusing on the power of prayer to break the strongholds of the enemy. You know, in Daniel chapter 1, there's a story where Daniel has received a dream, but he hasn't received the interpretation of that dream. And he knows that the interpretation is going to be something critical for his people. So he prays to God for an interpretation of what he has just dreamt. And he doesn't receive it straight away. He prays consistently and persistently for 3 weeks, agonizing in prayer, waiting for the answer to come. And then an angel appears before him and gives him the interpretation of his dream. But the angel tells him something significant. The angel says that he was prevented for 3 weeks for coming to Daniel. He set off 3 weeks ago to bring the interpretation, but he was prevented from coming to Daniel because he was engaged in a battle with the prince of Persia. And we understand from scripture that the princes and principalities and powers are fallen angels, and that they are fighting against what God wants to do. But because of Daniel's prayer, the angel tells him that the archangel Michael came to help him in the fight and overcome the prince of Persia, so he was able to bring the message. So you see, prayer is how we wage spiritual warfare against the powers and principalities that seek to prevent God's message from getting through to those who need it. And these could be our loved ones, they could be somebody we meet on the street. We need to pray for them. Jesus is our example of intercession. Even when faced with the agony in Gethsemane, he was praying for us. He was interceding for us before he went to the cross. And there's a number of other verses. We read in Romans 8:34 that he pleads on our behalf. In Hebrews 7:25 that he lives to intercede for us. In Hebrews 9:24 that he has entered heaven to appear for us in God's presence. And that word there, appear, is the same as a lawyer appearing and fighting for somebody. In 1 Timothy 2:5 that he is the one mediator between God and mankind. And 1 John 2:1 that he is our advocate with the Father. There is a prayer life, the life of a prayer warrior, that seeks to follow Christ's example, to intercede on behalf of others to our Father. It is the life of an intercessor. You know, in the summer of 1985, and I'm glad I'm talking to people who can remember 1985, I read a book called Rhys Howell, Intercessor. Has anybody read this book? No? It didn't have a big publication, but I tell you what, it had a profound impact on my life. It had an impact on my understanding, first of all, of intercessory prayer, but also of God's call in our life. Rhys Howell showed an example of a life fully surrendered to God and the way that God was then able to use him. Howell left school at the age of 12 in Wales, and he worked in a coal mine. When revival came to Wales, he surrendered his life to God, fully and sacrificially. He began to study the gospel and to preach. Financially, he gave up work and began to live by faith. He started working among the poor and the homeless because he felt that that's where God had called us to be. And God led him more and more into a life of intercession for others. Soon after the birth of his son, God called he and his wife to a ministry in Africa, which meant leaving their newborn baby in the care of others. God's promise to them was that if they were obedient in this, the harvest would be great, and so they went. In the 6 years of their ministry in South Africa and across the African continent, a revival swept through South Africa and beyond as thousands came to faith in God. Now, when I read that story in 1985, I was 8 months pregnant with my third child. I had 2 little boys under the age of 5, and God was challenging me to commit my children to him. Now, for those of you who have been pregnant and know the hormones that are flowing through your body, that was probably even harder at that point. But the challenge was to commit them to him and to trust him with their future. Because you see, what happened with Rhys Howell's son was that even though he didn't know his parents for 6 years, he went on to be a great man of God himself. Samuel Howell ended up running the Bible college that Rees Howell established. So the Howells returned home and they founded the Bible College of Wales with complete trust in the provision of God. They only had a few coins to their name when they first arrived back in England, but God blessed them mightily with two campuses in the end of the great Bible College of Wales. It grew, but it focused heavily on teaching not just the gospel and biblical theology, but also having the students engage in intercessory prayer. We've just, as a nation, come together to remember our fallen Anzac heroes and those who have served for our country overseas, the men and women who have given their lives for us. You know, before the start of the Second World War, when the rest of Europe was still maybe mocking and laughing at what Hitler was talking about and not really thinking that it was going to be a problem, God challenged Rees Howell to pray against the principalities and powers behind Hitler and the Nazi regime. And he began getting the college to pray. In the book, there's many times recorded during the war when he was led to gather the students and teachers to fast and pray for specific protection over specific areas or troops that God had showed him. He didn't even know, like no one was tweeting, you know, Hitler and Churchill weren't tweeting terrible tweets about each other the whole time. Nobody knew what was actually happening until weeks after, when news finally comes back about what's been going on the battlefield. So without even knowing what was happening, he was leading his people in prayer for specific reasons. There were events like the rescue of 338,000 troops from Dunkirk that he'd been instructed to pray about before the rest of England even knew it was going to be a problem. Or the thick fog that blanketed the battlefield, he saw an English soldiers gathered and were surrounded by the enemy. And he prayed, God led him to pray for invisibility for the soldiers. And a thick fog descended on the battlefield and they actually walked through the German lines. There are many examples of God's leading, those associated with the Bible College later on, even after Rees Howell had passed away. And they were led to pray bold prayers for significant events in modern history, including the Cuban Missile Crisis and the fall of the Berlin Wall. And most people didn't even know there was a Cuban Missile Crisis until much later. So what were the foundations of intercession that Rees Howell lived out and taught to his students? Firstly, it was that we must take up our cross and follow Jesus. And we read in Luke chapter 9, verse 22 to 24. Then he said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. Dying to self and to our desires and walking in the way of Jesus is the first foundation for prayer. This week, the nation of America is reading the Bible publicly from start to finish, which we have different ideas about that. But the president read a verse this week that I'm sure you're all familiar with, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And you know, that's the first step, is that we need to be humble, we need to pray, we need to turn to God and hand everything over to him. But you know, that verse is often taken out of context because it was actually spoken to Israel, who were meant to be the holy priesthood, before the nations. They were meant to be taking God's message to the nations. So the people who are called by his name are not a nation, they are us. We are the people called by God's name. We are the ones that need to humble ourselves and pray. And we are the ones that when we pray, God will hear from heaven and heal our lands. Not our land, our lands. The next foundation was abiding in him. In John 15, verse 7, we read, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." There's a very important little caveat there. If you abide in me. We can't just ask for a Mercedes-Benz. We can't go to God, and I'm sure you guys have probably heard it so much, that God is not a vending machine. We need to abide in him, because if we abide in him, we're going to be praying what he wants us to pray. We're going to be praying in his will. And therefore, yes, he will give us what he wants us to pray for. So a life given over to God is a life where we will abide in him, a life where God can then partner with us to bring about his will. And so we are to pray in and for the Father's will. In Romans 8:26, we read, "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans." We need to seek God to know what to pray. When we pray, "Thy will be done," we need to ask God to reveal his will for us, to reveal his will for others, to reveal his will for the world around us, so that we can then pray into it. The next one that Risa was really strong about was empathy and identification with those that you're praying for. Genuinely caring for those that we're praying for and seeking to identify with them. In Matthew 25, verse 36, we read those words that we know so well. After many had come to, at the judgment, when Jesus said, "I was hungry and you fed me. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." A life, we need to identify with those that we're praying for. We need to have love, empathy, and understanding. We need to see people through the Father's eyes. We need to see them as image bearers of God, and we need to see Jesus in them. We need to see that if we're ministering to others, we're ministering to Jesus. A few years ago, God challenged me on this point. Very much so. There were people in my life who I believed were causing great harm to people I cared about. They were Christians, and I had been praying that God would convict them, that God would bring about a change in their behaviour, that God would speak to them. Instead, God challenged me to pray for blessings for them, nothing else. That every time I thought of them or saw their actions or was reminded of anything, I was convicted to just pray that God would bless them, nothing else. And you know, that prayer made a huge change. Not in them, not in the situation, but in me. Because I was then able to see them as image bearers of God and people that God loved, and I was able to love them as well. The next foundation is bold and persistent prayer. In Colossians 4:2, we read, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ." We need to persist until we have an answer. It's not just a quick prayer. It's not, "God, please be with the people down at the marathon today," and that's it. We need to invest in the prayer, to persist. Just like Daniel did when he was praying for the interpretation of his dream. We don't know what's happening in the spiritual realm when we're praying. If God lays a person or a situation on your heart, keep praying. The final foundation that was very important to Hal and to the people in the Bible College was to be prepared to be the answer to your prayer. In Matthew 14:16, we read, it was when the disciples were saying, "Jesus, send these people home, there's nothing to eat." And he turned to them and he said, "They do not need to go away, you give them something to eat." And then we also read in Acts 2:45, where the early church sold their property and possessions to give to anyone in need. God may be asking you to give, or he may be asking you to show his love to others, not just to pray for them, but to actually act. You don't need to go to Africa or anywhere else, but where you are. Your mission field is wherever you come in contact with others. It could mean a simple kind gesture. It could mean being a listening ear. It could mean practical help, or it could be interceding before the Father, praying them into the kingdom. So God wants you to be part of his plan to draw people to himself, and it doesn't matter who you are, whether you can run alongside a marathon runner to encourage them in their quest, or whether you can pray for that runner, asking God to show you what he wants you to pray. We're going to move into a time of prayer in a few minutes, but first I'm going to ask the hospitality team to be handing out cards to each person. They're going to have the name of a runner who is either a competitor or someone organising on the committee. And these are people who are associated with our church or with one of the other churches in town. And what I would like us to do, thank you, is we're going to take some time to pray. And we're going to be praying for these people. But first of all, I want to lead us in a prayer to get our hearts into a place where we're listening to God and we're being ready to pray his will for the person that we have on our card. And you'll see that the runners have got the different races that they're running in as well. I've got someone running the 42-kilometre. That's a long race. How do we go? If there's more than we've got people for, which I don't think there will be, I think there was about 55, so. Maybe we might share one between two if there's not enough. How are we going? Has everybody got... Have you got two? Over this side? Yep. And this part of our service isn't going to be streamed. So what we're going to do is I'm just going to commit this time to God, and then I'll ask you to go into a prayer time for the person on your card. But again, like I said earlier, that if God lays on your heart, whether it's about that person or about the situation or anything else, and you feel that you want to pray as a congregation for that, there's a microphone out the front that you can please come out and pray, because then we can add our amen to that prayer. And amen just means so be it. It's us agreeing in prayer for what you've prayed for. So let's just start our prayer time. Let's commit ourselves to God. Father God, we praise you for loving us. We praise you for giving us your Son and for inviting us to join with you in the ministry of the world. To the world, Lord, the ministry of the word to the world. Father, open our hearts and our minds this morning to love as you have loved us, to hear your voice and to bring our requests to you. Father, we thank you and praise you. Lord, we just commit ourselves and this time to you. Speak, Lord, your servants listen. We now pray for the person on our card. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed today's service. And if you are looking for any resources to continue to connect in, you can find them on the links below or on our website. We'd love to see you in the building sometime at one of our future services. And remember, no matter what happens this week, keep coming back.